Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Hello and welcome to Crackin' Crime. I'm your host, Jamie Tilson.
I just spilled beer on my shirt. Seth, your co-host.
Oh, God.
I'm messing with this microphone for an hour.
There's complications that come along with doing podcasts, man. We just ran into one. A little snag.
My beer drinking habits didn't account for that at all. I was supposed to be in bed by now.
Oh, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Hope you've been liking everything we've been putting out. Go check us out on all of our stuff. All of our social media accounts.
Twitter.
Facebook. Are we just saying?
Instafuck. Sorry, Grandma. That was going to be a bad one.
No, we really do appreciate it. We've been putting a bunch of stuff out over there. So go check us out. Everything's at Crackin' Crime. All of our social media stuff. Wherever you guys are listening to a podcast, make sure you guys are giving us 5 stars. Leave us a comment. Helps push algorithms.
A like, a share.
Absolutely.
I'm greedy.
All right. I've been saying it for a long time. I finally did some research. And I'm excited. Why? I'm very excited about this.
What are we doing tonight?
This one. If this is your very first one, so basically the way that we do this podcast is Seth doesn't know what we're doing. I'm telling him a story, and we're going to get his banter along the way. This one's not going to be great for banter because we're doing BTK.
What does BTK mean? What does it stand for? Talk to me.
BTK stands for Bind, Torture, Kill.
I thought it was like Y2K, like the year 2000.
Yeah, Y2K was, that was a whole different thing.
I remember being a kid, scared to death. I thought the whole world was going to blow up. Like, son of a bitch, the clocks, they're not going to turn. It's going to blow up all the cars.
Yeah, I know. I remember that, too.
The stove's going to explode. I know it is. Look at it. It's freaking out.
The computer. Yeah, they were saying the power grid was just going to go down. So it's like everything was just going
to
stop.
Yeah,
because
it doesn't know how to go from 1,999 to 2,000. Like, son of a bitch.
It's like computers aren't smart enough to figure that out. We did not take any of that into account.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a billion. Not 200 million. 2,000. No, it's scary.
Yeah. From 1999 to 2,000. We can't handle it. We cannot do it.
God was probably out there like, these freaking idiots.
What are we doing?
I gave them so much more than that for them to freak out about that.
Is this even news at this point? I don't even understand what's going on.
Here we go. Moving on.
So we are going to talk about BTK today.
Which is what again? The blue...
No, it's Bind, Torture, Kill.
Oh, damn, that's dark.
Yeah, the whole thing is really dark. And actually, the first portion of it is pretty dark. Really, the gist of the story today that has got a little comedy to it is the way the morons, like, found. Okay?
Okay.
So So the way that it all starts, let's just jump into it. What the hey, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So in 1974, January 15th, 1974... Are you paying attention to me?
Yeah,
over
I was
there?
Swimming in my dad's balls those years.
Yeah.
Sorry, but Grandma. Here we go.
January 15th, 1974. There's the Otero family. That's where the whole story starts. All right.
Sounds Italian.
So it might be. Yes,
cousins.
I didn't look that up.
Cousins of mine. Wait, no, I'm French.
Yes. That's right. You're French. Yeah. So. Basically, the three older kids were in school, and when they come home, they had, like, they seen the worst scene. I can't even imagine as a child. But they come home to find their father, their mother, their little sister, and their little brother all dead in the house. Okay? And as we find out about BTK, right, they were all... A little bit tortured, but they were all strangled, and they're dead. So the mother and father are in the bedroom, in their bedroom, in their bed, and they're strangled. The little boy, Joseph Otero Jr., is 9. He's dead, been strangled. And then Josephine Otero is in the basement, and she's been hung.
Dang.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. So I'm going to tell the story a little bit differently, though, so you get that's what they found. The case goes cold. Nobody knows who did it. It's just crazy. And so we're waiting to find out, right? So, I mean, this goes on for years because it's all unsolved, okay? Eventually gets solved. We'll get into that. But I'm going to tell the story the way that the killer eventually confessed to. What happened in the home that day. Okay. So, the bodies were discovered by the three older siblings, Charlie, Danny, and Carmen. It was Joseph Otero. He was 38.
So Julie, five kids total. Three older siblings came home and found their parents and two of their younger siblings dead. All
yes.
Right? Okay.
Yep. And then Julie Otero was 33. Joseph Otero Jr. is 9. Josephine Otero is 11. All right. So the killing's not planned. It's somewhat planned, but not really planned. Like, he brought things with him to use to strangle him.
So he knew he was going to kill someone. He just didn't know on who, perhaps?
Yes.
Or
and he planned on the mom and the two kids being home. He planned on that. So he's over there, and he's like, just messing around outside, and he's waiting. Okay, he's basically lying in wait. And then all of a sudden, the back door opens and he just goes. So he goes in, he's got a gun on him. He goes in, and he basically is there with Junior. That's who he confronts first. He has Junior take him in to the house where the rest of the family's at there, and basically points a gun at him, tells everybody, hey, I'm just here to rob you. Okay, so I'm here, I need a car, I'm going to take whatever valuables I have, but I'm going to tie you guys up first. So they're somewhat calm, thinking like, okay, that's all this is just a robbery, let's just do what he says. Apparently, Joseph Otero had been in a car accident sometime fairly recent, so he had like ribs were like broken or something like that. So he was already kind of banged up, and so he gets tied up first. And apparently, BTK is, like, pretty nice with him. So when he ties him up, he, like, puts a pillow under his head, like, sets him up fairly decent so he's somewhat comfortable because his ribs were hurting. Then he ties up the rest of the family. Then he goes back to Mr. Otero, and he puts a bag over his head. Hmm. And then he uses, like, electrical, like a power cord, and wraps that around to try to hold the bag on. Okay? So he's like, he's dead because he put that bag over his head. So he goes over and he starts strangling Julie, which is the mom.
And so they're all watching each other die?
Basically.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're all tied up in the main bedroom, in the master bedroom. And he just put this bag over Joseph's head. So now he goes to Julie, chokes her until she passes out. Then he goes to Josephine, chokes her until she passes out. Then he goes to Junior, chokes him until he passes out. At this time, he realizes Joseph got a hole ripped in the bag, so he's not dead. He's still alive. He's fighting now. So he grabs another bag, and he puts another bag over his head, and now he puts a t-shirt over the bag, so now he can't rip a hole in it. And he ties that all on his head. Now he gets him down, right? And then Julie wakes up. So he goes back over, and he's fighting with Julie, and then he restrangles Julie. But this time, he actually is able to kill her. But, like, this is not going very well. Now, at this time, Junior wakes up. So he grabs Junior, takes him down the hall to Junior's room, puts a bag over his head, puts a t-shirt over the bag, tapes everything up, ties everything up, so that way he'll be dead, right? Because now he can't get a hole in the bag because the t-shirt's over the bag. Then he grabs Josephine. This is when he takes her down to the basement, hangs her, and then he does some sexual things. He doesn't do anything sexual to her body, but watching her hang as he's got her all tied up and everything, he then, like, does sexual things, and that's what he was into. It was sexually charged that he was into tying people up and all of that stuff. So, now at this time, he's like, okay, I've killed all four, and he cleans everything up that he, like, takes anything that he doesn't want to leave behind, cleans it up kind of halfway, and then he leaves. He does steal their car. He takes it and he leaves that at a store parking lot, and then he walks back to where his car was at because his car wasn't too far from the home, gets in his car, drives away. Again, this is in 1974. Case goes cold.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Later on, the three siblings come home. Basically not closure for a long, long time. All right. Now, a little while later, not real long, because he got a taste for it. He's ready to rock and roll. So now it's a little while later. I don't have the date on this. I should have. But it's Sedgwick County. So this is Catherine and Kevin Bright. This is his second attempt.
Sedgwick County, what state is that?
This is all in Kansas. Did I not say that on the first one?
You might have.
It was Wichita, Kansas.
Okay.
Was the first one with the Otero family. It was Wichita, Kansas.
Drove through Kansas a few times. Not a fan. No offense to Kansas. If you live in Kansas, praise you. Not a fan of that place.
It's pretty flat.
It's the most boring drive Nebraska's not my life. Yeah. Rest is not much better either, but
no, it's not.
I only come through here to get home, so.
Well, you drive right through Wichita, so, yeah, going to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Yeah, you drive.
Or anywhere else. I mean, if you're in Kansas, you're just driving through. As far as I'm concerned, no offense, Kansas.
There are a few different places.
They got the Chiefs. That's cool. Yeah. Moving on.
Moving on. All right. So Sedgwick County, Kansas. We move on to Catherine and Kevin Bright, their brother and sister. So BTK had been stalking Catherine Bright. Okay. So he kind of knew her plans, this and that. So he breaks in through the back door and now he's just waiting for her. Okay. So he's in the house. He's waiting. She comes home. She's got her brother, Kevin. He wasn't planning on this, right? It's so crazy. So he says when he's actually testifying to all of this later on is where I got a lot of this. He doesn't remember if he had Kevin tie up Catherine or Catherine tie up Kevin, but then he tied up the other one. Then he doesn't remember if he brought the ties or if they were all stuff that he found there at the house.
Okay. So he's done it so many times that
this is only his second time.
Supposedly. To me, that just reeks of I've done it so many times, I don't know.
Well, he's probably done other things, but these were his first actual killings. And you can tell that they're his first killings because they don't go well.
Yeah.
Like, the whole Otero family was not thought out well.
No.
And and it was so torturous the way that he did it, because anyway, this one is just as bad. Mm. So he doesn't remember if he used stuff from the house or if he brought his own ties, but the ties don't work basically. Okay. So basically he's got Kevin tied up in one bedroom to a bedpost, Catherine in the other bedroom tied up to a bedpost. Again, he doesn't remember which one was tied up first and who tied up who, this and that, right? Because this was probably 76, okay? 75, 76. Mm-hmm. So he decides he's going to go in, he's going to choke out Kevin. So he starts strangling Kevin. Kevin fights. He doesn't just let it happen, he starts fighting. He breaks the ties. So he gets out. So he jumps up, he tries to run, but BTK brought his gun. So he shoots him in the head.
Oh, shit.
Right. Kevin goes down, blood everywhere. He's like, okay, that didn't go as planned, but it's done. Now he goes in, starts strangling Catherine. She puts up a fight. She's able to get loose a little bit, and she fights like crazy. Finally, he gets the best of her. She goes down. So now he goes back out to Kevin, and he's like, all right, here we go.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
He starts to strangle Kevin. Well, Kevin wasn't dead from the gunshot wound, so he starts fighting again.
Gunshot. He wasn't dead from the gunshot in the head?
Wasn't dead.
Where the hell did he shoot him? His ear?
I don't know. He just says a headshot. Right. So he starts strangling him again. Now, Kevin goes back. No. That's right. BTK had a second gun in a shoulder holster on his person. Kevin is able to get the 22 pistol out of the holster, and points it at BTK. Well, BTK sticks his finger in the barrel, and he's able to jam the gun so the gun doesn't go off.
What?
Uses his second gun, shoots Kevin again. Kevin goes down. So now he's been shot in what I can only assume is like the abdomen, and he's been shot in the head. At this point, he goes down.
So he realizes... He Bugs Bunnied it and stuck his finger in the fucking gun.
Yeah, sticks his finger in the gun. Now, I don't know if it was in the hammer or if it was in the barrel or somehow...
I picture it like Bugs Bunny.
That's how I'm picturing it.
Puts it in the barrel and blocks the fucking
thing. Right, and Kevin's like, oh, you rascal. Ugh, right?
Why I oughta... I hate to joke about that, but...
I know. So he... Now, Catherine is not dead. She didn't die. So she had just passed out. So he goes back in now and starts strangling Catherine. It's not going well. She's fighting him. So he grabs a knife and he has to stab her. So now he ends up stabbing her a few times and he finally is able to kill Catherine. And now he looks up and he realizes front door of the apartment's gone. Is open. Kevin's gone.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So Kevin shot twice, strangled twice, not dead. He unfortunately was able to get Catherine, but now it's panic mode. Blood everywhere. All this stuff. This has gone awry. I mean, this is not... He just wanted to strangle some people, right? And now he's had to do all of this stuff. Use his guns, all this other things. So now his plan is completely foiled. Right? He hurries up, straightens up what he possibly can because he's like, cops are coming at this point, right? Kevin's obviously getting the cops.
Yeah.
So now he's got to run the like 4 or 5 blocks. Something with like, he was on 113th Street, but his car was on like 117th or 119th Street. So he had to run all these blocks, gets in his car, leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Still, even with Kevin surviving, I think there was a sketch drawn of him But still, case goes cold, right? So we've got nothing. Don't know who BTK is still. Okay? Now, March 17th, 1977.
Damn, he's not waiting all that long, is he?
No. No. This is the 70s. And honestly, the serial killer, there's still serial killers today. I can't remember what they say. I think it's like two or three people not at part of the same event is where you classify a serial killer now. But if you think about like the 70s, that's kind of all of your serial killers, all of the national media, like, that's where most of them were at, right?
Yeah.
So, 1977, March 17th, Cedric County, Kansas, and all of this is relatively close to Wichita. It's all around that area. This one is Shirley Vian. So, he had been watching people, and he parked in, like, the Dillon's parking lot and was watching this one particular house, and he decided tonight was the night. So, finally, he works up the courage. He leaves his car in the Dillon's parking lot, and he walks up to this house that he had been watching, right? No one's home. Well, now he's all worked up. He's talked himself into doing this. So, now he's just walking the neighborhood looking for somebody to kill. Okay? He sees a little boy enter a home. So, he's like, somebody's got to be there. So, yeah. He goes to the house of Shirley Vian, knocks on the door, little boy answers the door. So he shows him the gun, and he forces his way in, and he tells them the same thing. This is, oh wait, I think that was kind of his thing where he just told everybody, because that's what he told Kevin and Catherine in the last one, was when he encountered both of them, he pointed the gun at them. And then he told them that he was just there to rob them. And that's how we got each other to tie, like when tied one up and then he tied up the other. Because it was supposed to just be a robbery, which isn't better. But he put them at ease that way. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to hurt you. I'm just going to tie you guys up. Buy me some time to get out of here. So he talks him into it. I think he kind of did the same thing with this family that night. So he was just like, listen, I'm just here for the car. This is what I want. I'm not going to hurt anybody. I'm just going to tie everybody up. I'm going to rob you, and I'm out. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, she's obviously, or she's hasn't been feeling good. So, she's just like in her robe. She's not, you can tell she's not feeling very well. He goes out on the back porch. They stand out there while she smokes a cigarette, which is very odd. They come back inside. And he's like, all right, I'm just going to tie up the kids. I'm out of here. Okay? So, he ties up the kids, tries to put them in their bedroom, but they're making way too much noise, being way too loud. So, now he moves them to the bathroom. Closes the door, and then he has her help him. They take one of the beds, and they lean it against the door. Now, they go into her bedroom. He's tying her up to the bed, to the bedpost, and there was a lot more rope. So as he's tying her up, he just wraps it around her neck, and then he just strangles her. Now, she's dead. The kids are making way too much noise in the room, so he just cleans up what he needs to, and then he leaves. So that's a crazy story too, but none of these go remotely is what you would think when you're talking about, you know, like BTK. But still, not found. Case goes cold, right? So now, there wasn't much talk, but then he kills Nancy Fox on December 8th of 1977. So now, you've got like 10 murders, right? Well, you got this is 7 murders. Okay, he's killed 7 people. So in 1978, he's still only getting like local news. It's not making national headlines. It's just Wichita area. It might have been mentioned a little bit around, but not really. Okay, nobody knows who he is, this and that. And he's not named anything like that. So 1978, BTK sends a note to the TV station in Wichita claiming responsibility for all the, those murders. Okay, so all the ones we've just talked about, he's like, these were all mine. Then he starts, and then he says, what do I have to do to get some recognition for what I've done and then get a lot of, get a little national airtime? Yeah. He wants to get his name in the paper, and he wants some national media attention. And then he suggests some names for himself. One of them is Bind, Torture, Kill, or BTK. That one sticks. So now he's BTK, right? So that's 1978. Those are his murders. And then that's it. So basically, 8 years go by. Nothing. Nothing happens. I think he still would send a letter from time to time to the newspapers and stuff like that. But that was kind of it. Then all of a sudden, he murders a neighbor in 1985. He takes her body to a separate location and basically has her all bondaged up. And then he just takes a bunch of photographs and everything, and then he dumps the body. In 1986, he kills a 28-year-old mother of two. And then his last kill is in 1991. But these three cases are not tied to him at this time. Okay? Everybody's thinking that he's done back in like 78. They're like, so none of the 85, the 86, the 91, none of that's tied to him.
So he got famous in 78 pretty much when he sent that letter.
Pretty much. Yeah. And then he just kind of goes by the wayside. He's never caught. He's not tied to any of these other murders. He doesn't get recognition for it. Nothing. So then it's just like he goes dormant. Right? Which, if you watch any of the, like, In the Mind of a Serial Killer, all of this stuff, this is completely unheard of. That a serial killer, once active, doesn't go dormant. They don't just stop for 3 years. And
maybe he didn't. Maybe he just never admitted to it.
Oh, this guy is arrogant piece of crap. And he...
He's definitely a piece of crap.
Yeah. Oh, he is. Just wait. Because it starts getting stupid. All right. This is where I figured we would insert a little comedy about the moron that this guy actually is, right? Because he's just dormant, right? So now all of a sudden in 2004, no arrests have been made, and the local newspaper is like, this is the 30th anniversary of those killers, of those kills, sorry, of the Otero family.
So we're in the 90s now.
We're in the 2000s. So, they decide to run like an expose, like a feature about BTK. And they basically are like, all these murders happened. They talk about it, and then they're like, basically, they speculate on what's happened to BTK. Yeah. Okay? So, they figure that he's been arrested on some other charges, and he's been in prison since the mid to late 70s.
So, he's doing time for some shit that he hasn't admitted to pretty much. Or he's doing time for other crimes. That's what they're assuming.
Right.
Like they got him for something else and
right.
He got away with those.
Right. And that's where we're at. Or they said, or else he's dead. Like he died and that's why he was never caught. But they're just like, this was crazy. Kills all these people. Turns all these people's lives upside down. And then he just disappears. Nobody knows who he is. It was at this time that BTK then sends a letter to the newspaper and basically starts being like, I know what you're talking about. I'm right here. Yeah. Actually, I'm thinking about starting again. So he starts sending letters and he starts basically like, I'm back. I'm going to start doing all this and that. And they're like, well, you got to make, how do we know that this is really you? So this is where it comes back to the murder in 1991. He was never tied to that, right? Mm-hmm. So they go back, law enforcement goes back to this in 1991. And this was the 32-year-old lady killed in her home. So he had her driver's license, so he ends up sending some of the evidence, her driver's license included, that was taken from the scene. And they're like, ooh, okay. All right, we need to look at that crime scene a little closer. So they go back to that crime scene. They've got DNA. They run the DNA. They got no match. Guy's never been in the systems. DNA has never been checked. Darn it. Okay. So they start... They're corresponding with BTK through the newspaper. So BTK then says, you want some more stuff? Tell you what, I've got a floppy disk. I'll send it to you guys. But you guys can't read like metadata or whatever on this, right? You guys can't trace this back to me.
What? I'm going to send you some evidence, but you're not allowed to use all of it.
Right.
All
right? I'm going to send you some stuff that proves that I'm around.
I'm going to touch this floppy disk, but you're not allowed to fingerprint it, okay?
So, and they're only going to look at, like, the stuff on the disk, right, that he's allowed, that he's sending to you. You're not going to, like, go further. You won't be able to tie this back to me. So the police then go,
oh my God.
No, no, we won't be able to tie that back to you at all. I don't know. What, you just send it, right?
Yeah, fuck it. Send it.
And the way that he was getting this stuff to him
take
is...
Take pictures of yourself sending it. Yeah. You put in the fucking floppy disk in the mail. We don't give a shit.
And he wasn't just mailing this. Some of the stuff was like he would put it in a cereal box, and then he would tape the cereal box up, and then he would just like go to like a Home Depot, and he would put it in the bed of somebody's pickup.
Hmm.
So just random. And then people would be like, well, I don't know what this is. They'd open it and go, oh my goodness, this is, I don't know. So hoping that they take it to law enforcement. Luckily, a lot of it made it there. Some of it didn't.
Hmm.
Very odd. But anyway, he ends up then getting the floppy disk to him. Okay? So they get the floppy disk. And lo and behold, they were able to do what they said that, you know, they couldn't do. And so then they bring it back to a guy named Dennis was using it at this church in Wichita. Okay?
Hmm.
Like, that's weird, right?
That's
weird. Guy named Dennis at a church. Okay.
Yeah.
So they look, and there was a guy named Dennis Rader, and he's the president of the church.
Hmm.
Yeah. They look into this guy. He's got nothing. Got no criminal history. He's married. He's got children. Stand-up guy, seems, right?
Yeah.
So they're like, we need to do some more. We need to do some more digging. But we've got a name, Dennis Rader. So they start trying to figure out how they're going to get DNA. So they look into the daughter. Well, the daughter recently had had a pap smear. So, I know, but DNA. So, law enforcement quickly does a search warrant for her medical records so that way they can get a copy of her DNA from these pap smears. It's granted. They go get it. Turns out it's a match. It's a partial match to the DNA from the crime scenes.
Which crime scene?
From the one in 1991.
Hmm.
Now they've got
he fucked partial and found out when DNA started popping up. That's
right.
What you always
he started
in,
because he started sending messages. They thought this guy was done. Hmm. Nobody was looking at it.
You it had was... everything you needed to get away with everything, but you waited till science caught up with you, and then you wanted to play the game again.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is he still alive?
Yes, he is. He's in prison.
You're a fucking idiot.
I know.
I hope you hear this podcast. I really I do. I've been to prison myself. I hope you know you're a fucking moron.
Oh, yeah. I guarantee this guy.
You're
this guy probably
shit,
doesn't.
You're a coward. You're a moron.
He doesn't get out of his cell more than an hour a day, almost guaranteed. He just gets to.
I hope not.
Yeah.
I hope you sit in there and you fucking rot away, you coward.
Yeah, I know. So, basically, yeah. They have enough to go get Dennis Rader, and he did. So they go, they make the arrest, bring him in. He confesses to everything. Everything. There was two more murders in the middle of these. They were not quite the same, and he denied adamantly that those two were not his. So he came clean on everything, even these other three at the end that were never tied to him, until the very last one that they didn't know was him, until he tied it to himself, and then that in turn hung him, right?
What an idea.
Yeah. This is a crazy prison. And then everything that I've read to you, all of my notes were all from his confession. Hmm. Yeah, in court. So
there could be more. There could be more that he's just not talking about. Oh,
apparently he talks to anybody that'll go in and tell him how great they think he is. Like, he'll sit down and talk to people until you call him a moron. Like, you know, everybody should.
Like he is. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Then he gets all irritated and then he walks out. But apparently he'll tell his story to anybody. Yeah, he wants everybody to hear.
He's more than a piece of shit that he is. Yeah,
right.
I get that.
Yeah, and at first his daughter was not real happy with law enforcement using her DNA to get to him, but then now she's turned around. She actually does really good things for, like, I think the victims' families, and she's like an advocate for victims of these types of things. Because I mean, honestly, this ruined her life too. This was her dad. She had no idea that her dad was out killing people when, like, she wasn't even born yet.
Yeah.
And then, but he was married.
Which sucks for her. I mean, that's rough. Oh,
and then, absolutely. And then other stupid shit.
Trying to grow up. Yeah.
Right. And then other stupid shit that this guy did was he claimed, like, he didn't sexually assault any of his victims, even though he took pictures of them and he had pictures. Dude, when they went through his stuff, he had pictures of himself in, like, women's clothes, and he'd be all tied up, and he'd be like laying in, I think he laid in caskets, he laid in graves, and then, but he would somehow take these pictures of himself, and it was all sexual gratifying, and dude, he's something.
Sick motherfucker.
He really is. Yeah. And then this is, and when I said in that one, when he killed his neighbor, he was just infatuated with her, and he killed her, and he took her to the church. And he actually photographed her all bondaged up and dead at the church.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me.
Unreal, dude. Unreal. This case is just absolutely unreal. Yeah.
Nuts.
Just crazy. So, anyway, that's BTK.
It's BTK.
He's still in jail.
Chicka chit, coward, and loser.
Yeah.
Yep.
So... Well, this one wasn't as funny, but we had a lot of a story. Did my research.
He sure did.
I sure did. Yeah. Yep. There's a little bit more there, but we didn't want it to take 17 days, right?
Nope.
Some really, really good documentaries out there about it. But anyway, that's all I got.
That's all the fame we got for that chicken shit.
I know. So we did it. We covered BTK.
Yep. There's lots of stories.
It is a crazy story.
Lots of stories on cowards, you know. If you want more of them, find a Hulu documentary. They'll make whatever up they want about Tyson.
So, alrighty guys, check us out on all of our social media. We're on TikTok. We've been doing a few videos here
Twitter.
And there.
Instafuck. Face twat. I don't know.
Book,
whatever.
Facebook.
Kids are saying these days.
Remember, like us, follow us, leave a comment on all of the places that you guys listen to your podcast. So if you're listening on Apple, give us 5-star, leave a comment. All right, tell us what you think of the podcast. Spotify, same thing, give us 5 stars. We appreciate you guys listening. Remember, share it with your friends. Let's try to get it out there. All right. Oh yeah, Patreon. Haha, almost forgot.
Shit.
We're on Patreon.
Yep.
So go check us out on Patreon. Throw us a couple bucks.
Sexy Maxi Mark Mike Garcia.
Yeah. Garcia, yeah.
Sandy Tilson. Yeah, Phelps Harvest, CBD.
That's right.
Get healthy in a legal way.
Alrighty, guys. Thank you guys all for Patreon. Going to be throwing something out new this week. So, all right, guys. Thank you so much.
Later.
There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.